Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is good, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Malaga Drive Hoops Betting Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Caleb, and we're going to do the usual thing here today. We're going to review what went down today in the association. We had three fun games in their own way. Talk about that, talk about the bets, and then obviously get to tomorrow's slate as well. Small little two-gamer, including Heat Celtics, but I mean, shit, man, it's still basketball, and we'll do our best to run through both of those games. But I do want to take a quick moment before we even start this podcast to, one, thank you guys for listening. If you are listening, I really, really do appreciate it. It's dope to me that I'm able to just talk about basketball, run through the thoughts that are in my head, and have people interact with me about it. Talk with me about it. I love this shit. I absolutely love the game of basketball. As a result, I love watching the people who are the best in the world at basketball. So I really just want to take a moment just to say I appreciate you guys. If you have a moment, please, on whatever platform that you listen to this podcast, like, and if you could leave a review, that would be amazing as well. I've been doing this for, you know, 2-3 years. Just joined Believe, and they're teaching me things about the podcast game that I didn't even know existed before. And leaving reviews is a big way to help us grow. So if you could do that, that would be much, much appreciated. But let's get into today and what went down. Again, like I said, three-game slate. We had four bets, and a 1-3 day. Did not go well at all, but the grind, you guys know, the grind continues, and we're back on the grind. Let's start with the first game of the day. Suns Timberwolves, and look, for me, you guys know, if you've listened, I like the Suns coming into this mainly because I felt like a lot of the success that the Timberwolves have on defense, and they were the best defense in the league by far, was because they do a really good job of walling off the paint and taking away threes. And with the Suns, their strength really is the mid-range game, and they are able to get to their mid-range spots and just have elite mid-range shooters all up and down. So I didn't feel like they would have to – things wouldn't be – I mean, obviously, the playoffs is going to be tough, but I felt like they'd be somewhat comfortable in the style of defense that the Timberwolves play, on top of the fact that the Suns just waxed them every single time that they played in the regular season. And that's not – again, that's not an end-all, be-all, but it's something to me. But watching these two games, man, the Suns have zero rhythm. They have – zero creators that put consistent pressure on the rim, right? Devin Booker, Kevin Durant are amazing scorers, but they're not guys who you run a pick and roll and they get downhill, put pressure on the rim and kick. They're guys that are just elite at getting to their spots and shooting over the top. And they can, obviously they can get to the rim, but it's more in transition downhill situations that are pre-created rather than them creating them themselves. And today, again, I'm not jumping ship. The Suns still have a shot in this thing. But, like, today, again, you watch that whole game, and there was never really a point where any one of those guys on that team had it going, where you could give them the ball and they're going to create an advantage for you. There were moments where they hit some tough shots. But, like, that Minnesota defense has just been absolutely stifling. And for the course of, you know, two games, KD and Book have not had it going at all. I mean, Book had it going game one, but again, super tough isolation shots that it's just like, you know, is that going to win you a series? It may win you a game, but you need more. You need more than that. And I've just been really, really impressed with the Timberwolves defense. And you saw today, like, I was on the Suns, lost on the Suns, and they were up 8 in the second. And you still, I did never felt comfortable. And the Timberwolves, despite not really getting any scoring from Cat in the first half, not really getting any scoring from Ant in the first half, Conley went crazy. Conley really, really stepped up. You can tell Conley is so locked in right now, to the point where Ant and Cat are struggling. All right, I'm going to be a little bit more aggressive. And he made some big, big shots and big, big floaters in a way where, again, like, Conley was getting to his spots in the mid range, getting to rhythm looks for himself. And you make or miss, you live where the Suns were never really getting to a point where consistently, all right, we get a consistent look here, consistent look this possession, next possession. You know, it was just so hit or miss. So Suns definitely got some work to do. They only took 18 threes. Again, in this modern NBA, I'm not saying you have to take a three every possession and play, you know, extreme D'Antoni ball where it's literally just a layup or a three, but like, you got to get more than 18 threes up. And the shot profile right now, which again, I will admit, I thought it was going to be a, not necessarily a strength, but I talked about why, you know, I thought the Suns could win some games taking tough mid-range shots. And that is looking like not the case. So we'll see. We'll see. Again, it's really not a serious, the old quote, I don't know who said it, but it's pretty accurate. A series doesn't really start until a road team wins a game. We'll see. Suns headed back to Phoenix with work to do. Not writing them off yet, but they better get it going. Because again, a lot of the concerns I had about the Timberwolves were the offense gets stagnant over there, and it's been the opposite. The Timberwolves have completely dominated the Suns in both of these games, and the Suns got work to do. 0-1. Based off the Suns, should have laid off. I got snake bitten. I laid off for a while. I just couldn't make it to tip. I couldn't make it to tip without it. I think the fact too, that, and this is me just completely admitting that as a 28-year-old person, look, I know the game well. I've been profitable in the NBA the past 3-4 years. But shit, like I have discipline issues over the course of a season that'll show itself as well. And today was one of those where I was like, did I really need to hit the Suns? No, I didn't need to hit the Suns. I've leaned them. It never really crossed the threshold to me that like, all right, you got to play this. And I played it and I got bit. Now, it is what it is. We'll move forward, learn from it. Next game of the day was the Pacers and the Bucks. And this was one that this was my first play that I locked and I loved it. I love the Bucks minus 115. You saw that in game one, and really they had plenty of moments without Giannis where they looked all right. And you know, like, I mean, you don't know, but winning this one at home is just so crucial without Giannis, right? You give him a little bit of extra time. You can maybe rest him in Indy. And they dominated game one. And the Pacers looked a little, outside of Pascal Siakam, looked shell-shocked in terms of their first playoff game and not really being ready for the moment. And that just all flipped today. That flipped. And it wasn't like the Bucks let off. The Bucks did a lot of similar things. Dame had it absolutely cooking early on. And the Pacers took every shot and just kept on punching right back and then through. Miles Turner had a great game. And I think to me, the thing that stands out the most, if I have some time, I'll do a thread on it on Twitter as well, is just Pascal Siakam. I don't know about you guys personally. I know Pascal Siakam's a really good player. I know he's an all-star level player. Absolutely. I didn't think you were going to get this version of Pascal Siakam in these games. And he's been fucking unbelievable with 35 plus in both of these games. Just getting to his spots with ease, turning over the shoulder, hitting shots, going at rim protectors and finishing at the rim, taking threes with confidence and knocking him down. Like, he's looking like an absolute stud just playing in space with Indiana. So it's been a perfect fit. That is why you take the risk and trade for a guy with that level of talent, not even knowing that you'll re-sign him, because of like the India, this played out perfectly for Indiana. Obviously it's still the first round. They could lose to Milwaukee very easily still, but wow. I mean, Pascal Siakam's been unreal. And to me, if he's playing like this, the Bucks are in trouble, because we saw it. We'll get to it again today. When stars who have missed time come back in the playoffs, that first game is really tough. One, we've talked about it many times. You've played a certain way. Everyone has a certain rotation. Everyone kind of has this a usage that they're comfortable with and understand coming in the game, and that all changes when a star player comes back. On top of the star player, generally not just being their best version of themselves. And you saw it again tonight with Kawhi, to the point where it's like, we'll get to it. But we're on Mavs minus one today. When Kawhi got in, ruled in, I locked it before Kawhi was in. And when Kawhi got ruled in, I was like, I'm fine with it. And really, that's why. So a lot of pressure on the Bucks now headed to Indy. I know I would be pretty surprised if Indy doesn't win at least one of these games. And we've got a series now. We've definitely got a series. And they've won a road game. And it's a series now. And I don't know about you guys, right? Like, I felt it's really hard not to overreact to one game. But I was like, damn. Shit, after that first game, no Giannis. Indy knows they got to come out and steal one of these, and you just get rocked. And they came back and absolutely responded today. So props to Indy. We also picked up an L on Bobby Portis over 17.5 points. Again, I ran it back. I felt like Dame was going to see a little bit more harsher coverages. He didn't really. But again, it wasn't even like a usage thing. Like, it was just straight up, he did not make shots, left plenty on the board, finished with 14. And I think he was 6 of 17 from the field or something like that, where you tell me Bobby's getting 17 shots, I'm going to take over 17.5 in this matchup, especially as well. So tough way to go down. It was the wrong call. I mean, the usage was there, but, you know, Bobby did not make shots. Whether it was from three or even at the rim, he missed some bunnies as well. So take an L there. Take an L on Bucks. We're 0-3, and we're coming into Dallas, LA. Like, shit, we need – come on, Luka. Come on, boys. Let's get this one. And luckily they do. It looks sketch for a little bit. They came out well, but it's always a little bit sketchy when a team comes out well, and then that other team just whittles it down, gets into a rhythm, and now they have the lead late third, and it's like, all right, now you see with the other team, where are you at? Because it's one thing to be up all game, be in a rhythm, keep that, and just get to the finish line. It's another thing to get up early, other team punches back, you're on the road, crowd's going crazy, they have now retaken the lead, and you got to punch back. And the Mavs did that. Thankfully, I still feel like Jason Kidd, man, like, even late, he's just got to thank his fucking lucky stars he has Luka Doncic, because with about 5 minutes left, they were up 8 or so, and they just every possession dribbled for 16 seconds and then tried to create something after that. And it got a little bit sketch late, but the Mavs pull it out, I think 1-3, because PG hit a 3 late to cut it to 3 with the buzzer expiring. But we cashed it, and that's another one of these series. That's going to be a hell of a series. And the Clippers are, you know, again, stuck in a pickle where, again, I think even coaches know that first game back is a little bit tough, and sometimes even that second and third game back are tough. But the earlier you bring him back, the more integrated and the more right he is moving forward into the series. So really, really interesting. To me, I think with all three of those, I think you, at this point, the Suns have not shown me anything that would make me feel confident in picking them. It's not over. It is absolutely not over. And I would tell you, like, I have still liked teams down 0-2. I think if the Mavs lost tonight, I would still fuck with them. But I can't get there. Pacers, very, very, very interesting after a dub there. And I think that series is legit 50-50. And I'm very, very curious to see how far along Giannis is. Right? Like, is he at 75%? Is he 85%, 90%? And at what's the threshold at which he and the Bucks are comfortable at playing him? Is it 80%? All right, that's rock. Is it 85? 90? I don't know. Definitely something to monitor. And then Mavs Clippers. I took Mavs pre-series. I didn't actually bet it, but I picked them. And I think you got to feel good, right? They stole one on the road. Yes, Kawhi's back. But now you have home court advantage for the last 5 of these games, and I think it's probably going 7, but if you just win every game at home the rest of the way, you win a series, so should be fun. Last thing I will say before we move on to the games tomorrow is unders. I had half a mind to just play every under, and it's not like, again, there's nothing the books can do. These are low ass unders. The Pacers Bucks under was brought down 10 points, right? Like, the Suns T-Wolves under was brought down, even though it went over. And you would have went 2-1 again tonight. The Suns Timberwolves got there pretty easily. Again, the Suns cannot score right now. And it's not even like the Timberwolves have this explosive offense. So I think that's an underlook moving forward. The Pacers Bucks did go over, but that was just a lot of really, you know, a lot of made shots. The pace is still slow enough. Like, I wouldn't mind continuing to hit that under there. And then the Clippers Mavs flew way the fuck under as well. So unders, unders, unders. And I think that's just something that you've got to at least take a look at moving forward. And we'll get to that. We'll take a look at some of these adjusted series prices too. For all the series that happened today, there's nothing up yet, but Pelicans sitting at plus 650. It's interesting, maybe worth a sprinkle. Magic's 625. I can't get there. Knicks for it, minus 40. Sixers 330. I have Knicks minus 115. I don't think the Sixers are out of this, right? We talk about being down 2-0. I don't think the Sixers are out of this at all. 330 is interesting, but the fact that I have Knicks is just probably going to keep me off of it anyways. And then Lakers Nuggets. Lakers are now plus 900 after that very, very, very tough L. Not going to get there. I do think the Nuggets win this 90%.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time. All right, let's move forward to tomorrow. We have the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. Same exact spread at 14.5. I do believe I believe the under's down a little bit. So it's at 202.5, 203 in some spots. In game one, it was 210. So that's come down 7 points as well. I mean, this is just nuts. That's on me for not being on more unders coming into this. Like, every single series has a significantly lower total than it did in game one. And it's like, it still feels like shit. Is that enough? Last game finished 114.94. That would have put the over under at 198. No, I'm bad at math. 208. So it would have went over the 202 total. But we saw that again today in Boston, or in Phoenix, Minnesota, where the it went over the total of the first game as a result of the Timberwolves just putting up mad amount of points. And then the second game, the total lowered itself and it still went under. So I like the under, guys. I absolutely like the under at 202.5. This Miami team going to struggle to score. And even Boston, for as good as they are offensively, and they are, they put up 114 in game one against a good Miami Heat defense. But that's just what I'm getting to. Like, Miami is a good defense, and they throw a bunch of things at you, and they mix up zone, and then they go to man, and they go to matchup zone, they go to a different zone, and it's just like a million different things that they throw at you. You're, again, not getting foul calls that you normally do. I don't know. Like, and just on top of that, the pace is super low. This finished where the Heat finished with 94 points, and they scored 35 in the fourth quarter with, you know, the game being out of hand at that point. So 21, 24, 14, 35. I don't know. It feels sketchy just given that it's 202.5 and you have one of the best offenses in the league. But you saw the Mavericks had a great offense all year that didn't get to 100 today in a win. So yeah, that's where I'm at on that. I think if you had to go spread, I'm not going to play the Celtics because you saw last game, it's kind of a recipe for what could happen here. They would have covered 14. They did cover 14.5 because it was 14.5 last game. But at the start of the fourth quarter, the Celtics were up 33. I shit you not. They're up 34 with 11:38 left in the fourth. 34. And with 1:40 left to go, it was down to 14. Right. So that's just, and they ended up closing it out and winning by 18, and, you know, all is well for Celtics minus 14 and a half backers. But that's the worry I have, is that regardless of how it goes down, regardless of how they were up 33 in the fourth, and they were still right there at the end around that spread. So there's just no way I can get to Celtics minus 14 and a half. I can't. Like you're kind of fucked either way, where it's like, if they're dominating and they're up 25 going into the fourth, there's going to be let up. There's going to be bench players in. And bro, if it's 18 with 3 minutes left, they're pulling their guys most likely. And then you just have a toss up. And then if they don't, right, and then they're playing it tough and it's close, then it's close. So and all that to say, I'm not betting Miami. I'm not fucking betting Miami. But that's where I'm at on the spread. I do like the first half, though. You're getting first half at minus 8.5. That's a lot. That's obviously a lot. And I probably am not going to get there. But this Celtics team has been just a wagon as a first half team all year long. I do want to make sure that we're not forgetting, like, yes, Miami's extremely, extremely, unbelievably, unbelievably, extremely, extremely undermanned in this. They don't have the talent level. They don't have the star power. They're just outmatched from a personnel standpoint. This is still the Miami Heat, and they get that they literally have made a brand on their culture, right? And this is like AAU stuff where we have culture of grinding, and so. And we can make fun of them, but it's true. It is actually true. They are kind of nut jobs over there that do everything they can within the margins, and almost every guy that they play is a smart, smart basketball player. So, all that to say is, like, I don't want to get too cocky. And if this was a lot of other teams, I'd probably be on the Celtics. But, like, this Miami Heat team does what they do, and we've seen it many, many times, including beating them, you know, a year ago. And obviously they have Jimmy different and Gabe Vincent and Max Strus, but still, I think I'll stay away from the spreads. It's obviously a really, really tough game for Miami. Boston's much better, but 14.5 and 8.5 respectively are huge. I like the under at 202.5. And then if I had to bet any player prop, it would be Bam Adebayo. Again, the offense kind of runs through him. He's going to play 36 to 40 minutes. Last game, 24-6-3. Would have put him at 33.5 PRA. His PRA is 31.5, but even then, you guys know this total's at 202.5. There's probably not going to be a ton of assists. It's going to come down to, can he hit shots? Sometimes he does, sometimes he definitely doesn't. So I'll probably just that's pretty much where I'm at on that. If you want to go 3-pointers, I think Sam Hauser at 1.5 minus 137 is interesting, although the minutes probably aren't there. He only played 13 minutes last game, did hit 4 of 6 threes. Peyton Pritchard 1.5 is interesting as well. He has a little bit more trust, but I love how Mazzulla just rocks with these guys for 35 to 40 minutes a night. No bullshit 9-10 guys. It's 8 guys. One of the 8 guys isn't even going to play 15 minutes. Rock with who we've got. And I love that. I love that about Mazzulla and his coaching style. But that's really how I see this one, guys. For me, under. If you bet both unders tomorrow, I really do feel like the worst case, you're going 1-1. That'd be pretty tough if we switch it up. Hit the unders and they go 2-0. But the other game is the Pels and the Thunder. Pels are coming into this one at 7.5 point dogs after a really, really good performance. And it kind of got swept under the rug because it wasn't quite as heartbreaking as the Lakers out or the Sixers out the other day. But like, they were right there. They were this close, an inch away from stealing game one, and fell just short. And it's interesting because you have two different ways that teams can respond to L's like that. You can come out and let it motivate you and fire you up, and then there's other times it can absolutely deflate you. And we'll see. Obviously, more veteran teams are poised to handle it a little bit better. But the Pelicans, we talked about it. the Thunder went 57-25, and they're a really, really good team, but they are not without some flaws. And some of those flaws, some of those main flaws are just experience in the playoffs. SGA is going to have a lot less room to work with. SGA is going to have a lot tougher shots. He's going to have Herb Jones draped on him, and they're going to need other guys to step up and do things. I think this line at 7.5 is much better now than what it was at 9.5. They ran it back at 9.5. I would have been right on it. And I still lean Pelicans in this one, to be 100% honest with you. Like 7.5, decent amount of points. And a lot of these games, right, like even Cavs, Magic, you're seeing Magic on the road as 4.5 point underdogs, 5.5 point underdogs. Suns today, 3. Pacers, 1. You know, like 7.5 outside of I guess the Lakers too. It's been a lot of like pretty decently high or small spreads. So I like 7.5. I don't know that I'm going to get there, but again, to me, the under is the play to go. Under. And then let's see some props. Like both these teams play at such a slow pace. It finished 94-92 last game. I think SGA under 29.5 points is also a decent look as well. Like he's going to have Herb Jones draped on him. Obviously he's going to play a ton of minutes. He can play 40 minutes, but last game this would have went under and he played 40 minutes and took 24 shots. Like it's really, really tough to score 29 points, or in this case, 30 points, in a game where the whole defense is slanted towards stopping you from scoring. The pace is slower, and you have the best, in my opinion, the best perimeter defender in the league on you and Herb Jones. And yeah, you're going to get cross-matched, and yeah, they're going to have screens, and yeah. But to me, the under and SGA under 29.5 are probably my two favorite looks in this. And just unders in general, you play all the unders and point props, you're more often than not, you're probably going to win. So I'm not saying to do that, but that's where I'm at in this game. And I really do believe that, yes, the Pels, you look at their adjusted series price right now, it is plus 600. I think that's worth a sprinkle. And two, this team is not far off from the Thunder. And I know, like, obviously they would rather have Zion than not. But without Zion, it kind of forces BI into this more aggressive mindset. And that mindset very much benefits him and very much benefits the Pelicans, to where he knows coming into the game, I've got to score. I've got to help my team by scoring the basketball. And other times there's this weird balance of Zion where it's like, I want to score. I got to score, but I also got to make sure Zion gets his touches and gets his rhythm. Whose turn is it? Is it your turn? Is it my turn? And it doesn't help that in the regular season, a lot of times one of them's out, one of them's in. So they don't really always have that perfect chemistry together. And I'm sure they'll figure it out. Maybe not. Maybe they won't. But I'm just saying the Zion loss hurts from a personnel perspective, absolutely. But at the same time, there's some benefits in terms of, I think, the mindset for BI, and also honestly, CJ McCollum as well. Like I feel like he gets to kind of get going as well. But to me, the under is what I'd play. Let me check right now the NBA pace rankings in the playoffs. All right. And these are all down. So I looked yesterday, and the highest paced teams in the playoffs so far were the Pacers and the Bucks at 97 possessions a game. And that would have ranked 20th in the regular season. So right there, you already know, like, the pace is down, right? But all right, let's pull this up. Pull this up. It's loading. Yeah. So the pace for the Pacers in the regular season was 103 possessions a game. And after these two games today, they're at 94 a game. So the lowest, the Pelicans Thunder were at 94 possessions a game. And then even you look at the Heat Celtics, 89. So I like the under in both these games. I think and I'm going to lock in. I'm going to just tell you I'm going to lock in now. We'll see on SGA later. I'm hoping that maybe it just keeps getting bumped because it's an SGA and it's one of the best scorers in the league. But But I think the unders right now still to this point are a little bit too high. And there's value on it. Like, you looked at, obviously, the Pacers and Bucks. Pacers shot the shit out of it. But Thunder Pelicans last game had a 94 possessions a game pace. Like, the Celtics Heat had an 89.5 possessions a game pace. Like, I just, even like the game with the Kings was at 105.98, which would have been 203. And the Kings played a lot faster than the Thunder. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. Anyways, I appreciate you guys for tuning in. As usual, we'll be back tomorrow to break down another slate and then talk about what went down with Pelicans, Thunder, as well as Celtics Heat. Best of luck to whatever it is that you guys end up playing. I love you guys, and we'll talk soon. Peace.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.